And accuracy in reporting. That's every Monday morning at 9 a.m.
Support comes from Boulder County Healthcare Coverage.org, reminding you that open enrollment for healthcare insurance begins on Saturday, December 14th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and that Boulder County Health Coverage Guides are available to help you protect yourself and your family. Assistance is open to the public, confidential, and available in both English and Spanish. More information at BoulderCountyHealthCoverage.org.
Join KGNU for Cultura Viva, World Drumming and Culture Jam Workshop, followed by a live music broadcast with the Pink Hawks, Denver's Afrobeat and Chicano Hip Hop Orchestra, November 20th, 6 to 9 p.m. at Raices Brewing in Denver. This event is free and open to all ages and families, thanks to grant support from the Denver Music Advancement Fund through Denver Arts and Venues. Register today at kgnu.org.
You got that something that makes me want to spin in place, and I can't even try to control my innocence.
Welcome to Ragtime America. I'm Jack Rummel. I'll be with you for an hour of recorded ragtime this evening. And tonight, we are into part three, week number three, of the almost complete works of Scott Joplin. We've got almost 48 different works with 48 different artists and groups to do it. So it's quite an undertaking here, and it's going to take four programs to get it done. When we left week two, Joplin was still in Missouri. He'd moved to St. Louis. Things were going fairly well for him in Missouri. His publisher, John Stark, had moved to New York, where he had opened a second office, leaving his son to run the St. Louis office. Joplin's friend Arthur Marshall had gone to Chicago. So Joplin ultimately followed him there. He had some contacts in Chicago. And in 1906, his rag Eugenia was published there. People thought that it was named after a woman, but there's a picture of a bush, shrub on the front, and it's been identified as the Eugenia bush, so it was named after that. Very nice piece of music, so why don't we just get right on into our Joplin program tonight with Eugenia, as played by Richard Dowling.
Thank you.
Well, in 1906, Joplin returned to St. Louis, and he had two rags published there. Antoinette, a 6/8 march, was probably a remnant of his lost opera, A Guest of Honor, which we mentioned in the past week, and the Ragtime Dance, published unsuccessfully in 1902 by Stark, was edited down by eliminating a lengthy verse and a few repeats and adding a stop time section, and re-released in 1906 in its edited form. It enjoyed success. So we'll play those two pieces back to back here. We'll start with Antoinette, played by David Thomas Roberts, and then the Ragtime Dance, as played by the Skirt Lifters.
Thank you.
Still living in St. Louis in 1907, Joplin had another rag published there by the Stark Enterprise called Nonpareil. None to equal is what that means. Featuring a big American flag being unfurled by Uncle Sam on the cover. The source of the title is really unknown. So we'll turn to Nonpareil, none to equal, and we'll also turn to Dick Zimmerman. Masterful work by Joplin. Well, later in 1907, Joplin packed his bags and he followed John Stark to New York. And there he would stay. His first New York residence was in a boarding house on 29th Street, which was a couple of blocks from Tin Pan Alley. At that time, Tin Pan Alley was located on 28th Street, just to the west of Broadway. It was in the Tenderloin District, but also in close proximity to a number of Broadway theaters. He was also less than a mile from Stark's New York office on 23rd Street. Many of local venues featured black entertainers, either in vaudeville, stage musicals, or musicians playing in restaurants. including some performers that Joplin had met in St. Louis, such as Joe Jordan. After a month in Manhattan, he turned in two masterful works, this time to a different publisher, Joseph Stern. Searchlight Rag was a nod to the town of Searchlight, Nevada, where Tom Turpin and his brother had a stake in the Big Onion Mine in the 1890s. Gladiolus Rag, however, was close to the pinnacle of his compositional career. While it followed the chord progression and symmetry of the Maple Leaf Rag and even the key signature, the nuances throughout were much more sophisticated than his earlier model, and the dense, moving chord progressions in the trio required more skill and understanding of harmony from the pianist than virtually any of his previous efforts. So these two selections from 1907, we will play first the Searchlight Rag. The artist is Nick Taylor, a Coloradoan. And second will be Gladiolus Rag, as played by Jazzu Jones. Thank you. Oh, that's a magnificent piece. I play that myself, and it's one of my absolute favorites. Well, moving on, in the year 1907, this was the last published rag by Joplin that year, the Rose Leaf Rag. This was taken by Boston publisher Joseph M. Daly, and he probably had an agent in Manhattan to buy pieces and stock local stores with his own music. It's another one of the high points in Joplin's extraordinary 1907 output, with a very delicate first section, opening full of contrary and parallel motion between the hands. It is much less dense than the previous three pieces, but allowed pianists of lesser ability the opportunity to master a Joplin rag complete with that so-called, quote-unquote, weird and intoxicating sound. To bring us Roseleaf Rag, here is Matthew Davidson.
Thank you.
interesting version. He left out some repeats there, but still it was well done, Matthew Davidson there. Well, let's jump back in time here to 1897. That year, stage entertainer Ben Harney had published his Ragtime Instructor, a brief folio explaining the cakewalk and other syncopated rhythms. Axel Christensen, an entrepreneur, had expanded on this concept by opening a chain of ragtime teaching schools in Chicago and across Illinois. Others had picked up on this and had gone after the correspondence and teaching market with primers on how to syncopate. Scott Joplin countered these moves by creating and self-publishing his School of Ragtime in 1908, 6 piano exercises that touched on various points of syncopation. It was an effort not to just teach the consumer how to play syncopation, but to read and perform it properly. Unlike many previous efforts, Joplin's publication was aimed at interpreting piano rags already in print, not so much in applying the ragtime style to other popular music forms. Perhaps more important than the 6 exercises are Joplin's written comments, which clearly provide his view of how ragtime should not only be performed, but written as well. We actually have a special occurrence tonight. We have a performance of Joplin's School of Ragtime by Dick Hyman on piano, but the written part of it will be read by none other than Ubi Blake, which is a real coup to have that. This is part of Dick Hyman's complete Joplin works, which is long out of print, so it's only available on LP record and only available if you find it on eBay somewhere. So let's take about 8 minutes now to listen to Dick Hyman and Ubi Blake and Joplin's School of Ragtime.
Well, Joplin, composer of Maple Leaf Rag. What is scarcely called ragtime is an invention that is here to stay. That is now conceded by all classes of musicians, that all publications masquerading under the name of ragtime are not the genuine article, will be better known when these exercises are studied. That real ragtime of the higher class is rather difficult to play is a painful truth which most pianists have discovered. Syncopations are no indication of light or trashy music, and to shy bricks at hateful ragtime no longer passes for musical culture. To assist amateur players in giving the Joplin rags that weird and intoxicating effect intended by the composer is the object of this work. Exercise number 1. It is evident that by giving each note its proper time and by scrupulously observing the ties, you will get the effect. So many are careless in these respects that we will specify each feature. In this number, strike the first note and hold it through the time belonging to the second note. The upper staff is not syncopated, and it is not to be played. The perpendicular dotted lines running from the syncopated note below to the 2 notes above will show exactly its duration. Play slowly until you catch the swing, and never play ragtime fast at any time. Exercise number two. This style is rather more difficult, especially for those who are careless with the left hand and are prone to vamp. The first note should be given the full length of the 3/16 and no more. The second note is struck in its proper place. And the third note is not struck, but is joined with the second as though they were one note. This treatment is continued to the end of the exercise. Exercise number three. This style is very effective when neatly played. If you have observed the object of the dotted lines, they will lead you to a proper rendering of this number, and you will find it interesting. Exercise number four. The fourth and fifth notes here form one tone. And also in the middle of the second measure, and so to the end. You will observe that it is a syncopation only when the tied notes are on the same degree of the staff. Slurs indicate a legato movement. Exercise number five. The first ragtime effect here is the second note, right hand. But instead of a tie, it is an eighth note rather than 2/16 with tie. In the last part of this measure, the tie is used because the tone is carried across the bar. This is a pretty style and not as difficult as it seems on first trial. Exercise number six. The instructions given together with the dotted lines will enable you to interpret this variety, which has very pleasing effects. We wish to say here that the Joplin ragtime is destroyed by careless or imperfect rendering, and very often good players lose the effect entirely by playing too fast. They are harmonized with the supposition that each note will be played as it is written, as it takes this and also the proper time divisions to complete this sense intended.
School of Ragtime. I realize that a lot of that was probably lost on many of our listeners, but you get the idea that Joplin had not only written some nice exercises to do, but had gone to great lengths to explain how ragtime should be played. Dick Hyman on piano, Ubi Blake on the narration. Let's move on now to another piece from 1908. This is Fig Leaf Rag, which many historians have grouped with Gladiolus and Roseleaf and Nonpareil as some of the finest Joplin works of this period. There's a great deal of left-hand counterpoint found throughout, and the trio is a true masterpiece. Here is Morten Gunnar Larsen.
Thank you.
Oh, too much. I forgot about those. Forgot about the applause there. A live performance by Morten Gunnar Larsen. Well, two more rags were published in 1908, and that'll take us out tonight. Sugar Cane, which is kind of a pale rewrite of the Maple Leaf Rag, and then Pineapple Rag, which is clearly more original and fresh with some bluesy sounds in the trio. This is Jack Rummel saying thanks for joining us on Ragtime America as we did part three of the almost complete Joplin. Please join us in 2 weeks for the last part of this. And here we go with Sugar Cane and Pineapple Rag. Well, I forgot to announce the artists. That was the New York Ragtime Orchestra, and we're now going to listen to Pineapple Rag as played by Stephanie Trick. Thank you.
This is KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.
For the Swing Shift on KGNU, George C. with you for an hour, and then another two for Jazz Lives. Big shout out and thank you to Jack Rummel, professor of the ragtime Swing Shift right now. Please keep it locked right here to KGNU. Thanks for listening.
This is always, this isn't maybe, this is always, this is love, the real beginning of forever. This isn't just midsummer madness, a passing glow, a moment's gladness. Yes, it's love. I knew it on the night we met. You tied a string around my heart. So how can every kiss, I know that this is always. Just midsummer madness, a passing glow, a moment's gladness. Yes, it's love. I knew it on the night we met. You tied a string around. So how can I forget you? With every kiss, I know that this is all.